Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Like, it's giving, like, if Adam Johnson was...
Like, nobody really cared about the Diddy stuff.
Lads, can we talk about the football, please?
Holy shit.
Welcome back to the 60-Yard Box Podcast for episode 78, where I think this is perhaps like the hardest we have tried to make a studio recording work for you guys today. But when life gives you...
All right. It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. I haven't finished my monster yet. When life gives you lemons, you make sure you get an episode out.
There you go.
So that's exactly what we're doing today. I'm here with Antoine and Blake here, not in our normal studio, but a studio nonetheless. So I'm freaking happy. And we're here to deliver on the latest in the football world. Obviously, United and Arsenal have had some recent topics to get into.
Yeah.
PSG won yesterday.
They did.
And we had El Clasico yesterday for some kind of Super cup in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. And then later in the episode, we are ranking every single summer signing in a tier list.
So not every single summer signing. A select few summer
25.
Signings.
Like 25 of the biggest.
The biggest. The biggest, yeah.
Let's go around the table. Antoine, how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, you didn't go to me
I'm
first.
Really, really relieved that we can do this episode right now, today. For context, we were here early in the morning and nothing was working. So we apply that constant pressure on the on the authorities and now we're here.
Yeah, a strongly worded email later and we're here. We here.
Had to Karen them a little bit, but it's okay.
It worked.
It's okay.
That's what
it happens.
In life,
constant pressure.
Be Karen.
Constant pressure.
Be Karen, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blake, how about you? How are you doing?
You know, considering the week of Arsenal football I've had to watch, or I don't know if it's been a week, I guess we lost or drew to Brighton as well. I'm okay. I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm a little sick.
I wouldn't have expected you to be this eager to get in the studio today.
Alas. I was right. So let's just jump right into it.
Oh, we're jumping
because,
right into
no,
it.
No, because once again, Blake is proven right by his footballing intuition when I said we were going to lose to Manchester United. And you can say it's a cop-out, and you can say
so you
blah,
could
blah,
say,
blah.
You could talk about intuition this, intuition that. Generally, me and you, we're just fucking pessimists. I was saying we were going to lose. He was saying, no, we're going to lose. No, we're going to lose. No, we're going to lose.
I knew
we were going to lose. I thought we were going to lose. Everybody thought we were going to lose, like, because we're still ass no matter what the fucking result against Liverpool was. All right. You're a pessimist and you make a bunch of predictions about Arsenal losing. And sometimes they come true. That doesn't mean you're a fucking genie, bro.
Well, recently I think Tottenham's a draw. Looking ahead, I think we draw at home.
Miles Kearse?
Yeah. Miles Kearse in full. Yeah. Well, he said he was. Miles Kearse in full effect. But I don't know where you want to go because we don't want to spend too long on these because we have a big section of the transfers that's really exciting that we want to get to. But I don't know where you want me to go. I don't know if you want to go first.
Talk about your experience watching the game.
Like... numb. Genuinely numb. Genuinely numb because from the minute one, I could just tell, like when it was like 30 minutes and we missed some chances, I could just tell that it was going to be one of those games once again. And even when you guys scored, it was nothing.
No?
When we scored,
expected?
It was, hey. And then we didn't score again.
Yeah.
So it was hard for me to get really invested in the game, especially that extra time. It was just mind-numbing trying to watch these players just continuously fail to finish chances. And that's the biggest issue right now is there's just no one to finish chances. And Gabriel Jesus is out supposedly long-term with a knee injury, which, again,
that
sucks.
Tough.
And you would think that would apply pressure on the board on Mikel Arteta to sign someone. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I guess we'll see.
So,
yeah, we're going to get into that.
Talk to me about the Havertz situation and the lack of finishing.
He's not this player. Kai Havertz is not the guy who misses these chances. But he has this cold streak in him because he isn't a classic number nine.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, out of this world to consider him having a really, really cold streak like this, which is why we need a nine who doesn't have these cold streaks and isn't a number nine who can actually finish these chances. But the way he's playing right now is unacceptable. There's no disregarding that. But the fans are freaking out. Oh, why are we singing? Every player that comes here, they get a chant. Like, it's the head loss is insane for a team that's in second. Like, we could win an FA Cup this year, and the fans who want, like, we could have won, rather.
Yeah.
The fans who wanted Mikel Arteta out are still going to want him out by the beginning of November in the season after, because we're not first place, right? Like, it's a cup, it's a Champions League, or it's a title to win everyone over. And the cup win would have quieted things down, and we still can win the Carabao Cup. But again, it's not the main goal. However, the glaring issue for a nine is there. We need winger depth. There's just a lot of things going wrong for this Arsenal team right now.
Yeah. I mean, the shouts of Arteta getting sacked is absolute nonsense when you look at the content of the games itself that Arsenal play. I think you showed me, was it you that showed me the total possession? And
4XG as well.
4XG, you sent us that. In the last 8XG that Arsenal have had, they've scored one goal. Yeah.
Wow.
So that screams that they are making chances. Mm-hmm. They're good at doing that. But there's just one missing problem, and that's the number nine.
Yeah.
So
people saying that he should get sacked because there's no number nine.
But the one issue I have with that is I agree that he's not the one missing penalties. He's not the one missing chances. But he is the one coming out after the game and saying, no, we don't need a number nine. I trust the players we have.
Right.
And I think that he has an input in the transfers, along with Edu or whoever else was in that meeting room, saying like, no, it's okay. You don't have to go out and spend big money on this guy. Bring me Kai Havertz instead. Bring me, you know, Declan Rice. Spend the big money elsewhere, and I'll make do with the pieces that I have.
Well, Declan Rice was big money. Like, that's what you're saying.
It was big money.
Yeah.
But like, could you have spent that money elsewhere? Declan Rice was a fantastic signing. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But you spent the big money on other players instead of the number nine that you could have used.
Well, and like I've told you this before, I think it's naive to think that Arteta doesn't realize there's an attacking issue. Like, you have to think and remember that what is said in the media isn't exactly what is said in the dressing room.
That's fair.
In the training ground. Like, in the offices. Like, he knows there's an issue. He knows your team isn't first and you haven't won every game this season. That means there's room for improvement. He's not stupid. He knows this. I do think, however, his, you know, resilience and his
stubbornness,
his fallback and his stubbornness to keep going and backing his players and saying these things about a nine, it's getting a bit old. And that's why the fans are getting frustrated. But it is just a tactic to get behind his players, be like, hey guys, you know, we're doing the right thing. It's okay.
Well, I also think some of his stubbornness is a little bit due to the fact that in the first season that Arsenal were really firing off all cylinders, they still didn't have a nine and they were scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Even last season, they were scoring a lot of goals without a number nine. So I don't know if he just thinks they can magically go back to that or that it'll click. But his stubbornness probably comes from that.
It's not even like you need a nine. It's not even like you need to spend 100 mil on a nine to lead your line for 38 games of the Premier League season. You need a guy that you can turn to be a finisher when it's scraps, when you're trying to break a team down and the other guys aren't clicking. I think what we saw yesterday, like from both teams, is how much football is a confidence game. Because in the 60th minute, after Gabriel scored, I'm thinking in my head, like, wow, this Bayinder is having a terrible game. But then the penalty happened, and he saved that penalty. And then he looks like a completely different player after he saved that penalty. Yeah. So with that, plus the confidence of Trossard, Martinelli, Havertz lately, like, even as Odegaard. A striker, even Odegaard, like, as a title-challenging attacker, like, your confidence to be here. Mm-hmm. Naturally, it should be here. Like, they're lucky if they're getting, like, over here, you know? Like, that is an attribute that I think it's just something up here is not clicking. They have finishing ability, but it's a confidence thing, too.
And last year, you know, you said you need the person to turn to. It was Trossard.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. Remember that stretch? He would come on, he'd score crazy goals, and then we started him, and it didn't really work. But him last season, he bottled some sort of special energy. Whenever he came on, he was that finisher. If you gave him any sort of room inside the box,
that's true,
he would finish. This season, that's not happening. This season, Martinelli can't do anything. This season, later on in the season, Kai Havertz isn't doing anything. Raheem Sterling is like the worst signing of the entire year. Like, yeah. Anything that could progress from the front attacking side and a bit of the attacking midfielders has. So it's just a terrible situation to be in. But kudos to Man United, because at the same time, Leandro played great. Your defense, for the most part, was
solid,
very yep. solid. And Bruno showed how to finish when he needed to.
Yeah. It wasn't even just the finish. Like, it was, I think the United team, sometimes when you have the ball, it's a game. When you don't have the ball, it's a fight. And we have a couple of players in there that can really bring the aggressiveness needed when, you know, like, shit is really hitting the fan. When you're down to 10 men at the Emirates, who haven't lost besides last week since, like, you know, May, best team in the league, and you still hold it down for over an hour with 10 men.
It's impressive.
Really impressive. Really impressive. And I thought Ugarte was excellent. I thought De Ligt was excellent. Maguire was excellent. It was a solid game. Just more than I've seen in a really, really, really long time with United. The players looked like they were fighting out there for the manager. And it's a sense of passion and a level of aggressiveness and energy that I haven't seen them perform for a manager in a while. And it looks like, obviously, Amorim brought his ideas and sold it to the fans. But it looks like now it's really starting to be sold to the players. Mm. And they're really starting to buy in. And even with this team, who, of course, still has their issues. And there's going to be issues down the road, of course. But with a dysfunctional group of players who have had attitude issues and falling outs and all of this, despite the big decisions, despite maybe, you know, some of them being friends with some of the players being ousted from the squad, they're still buying in. So I'm really excited for the next, like, you know, transfer window or two, when he's able to bring in guys that he really buys into, and we just get exponentially better. I'm excited.
I remember him saying the same thing when Ten Hag was starting to do well.
Facts. I know. The thing with Ten Hag was the style of play and the system that he used to buy in. It wasn't his football.
Yeah.
You know, we were not... At no point were we playing Ajax football.
Mm-hmm.
He got pumped at Brentford, and then he reversed, and he started playing the attacking kind of Ollie-esque football that, you know, United has been used to. And with the players that he had at his disposal, that worked really well. But then the players, kind of being these Ollie players, they regressed to the level that we know them as. So, but I'm glad Amorim has stuck to his principles.
Totally.
And it has put us in 14th, don't get me wrong. But I hope that it is short-term pain for long-term gain. And I think this is like a good sign to stick with the process. Could we lose to Southampton?
Very possible.
Very possible. Very possible. But general direction, general feeling around United, around Amorim in particular, is solid right now.
Must be nice.
See, like, you're third in the league.
Are you second?
Yeah. Even better. Come on,
that's why it's not a crisis. But no. On the cameras.
Wow.
Good game.
Is that the first handshake?
If it was in the league, well, because if it was in the league, I'd be crashing it a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
But then again,
but FA Cup doesn't matter.
But it does matter. This is the thing. But you need trophies.
Absolutely.
You need trophies. You need results. You need a chapter in the history books to say, look what Arteta won for this team.
Well,
he's won an FA Cup. But it's a very different.
You could win three Carabao Cups in a row, and Arteta hasn't won anything. It would do nothing for me.
Mm-hmm. Like, you've been better in the last two seasons. Obviously, you've been a better team than United in the past two seasons. And I'd rather have your season and be your team than be the dysfunctional United that won a Carabao and an FA Cup. You got to win something.
No,
you play football to win trophies at the end of the day,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. But at the same time, like I said, you could win. United could win the next three Carabao Cups. Let's say you win. You can't win the trophy. You're still in the Carabao Cup. No, you're not.
No, we're not.
Let's say you won an FA Cup this year, and then you won a Carabao Cup the year after. That would do nothing for me as, like, your potential, you know, United's team versus Arsenal. Or Amorim versus Arteta. It means nothing to me because at the end of the day, they're not the big ones.
Right.
They do matter. And the supplementary trophies are definitely a part of of what made City so good when they won 6 League Cups in a row. Like, that shit matters.
Yeah.
But for what Arsenal is trying to do right now, like, the later half of the Wenger era was FA Cup Central.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A couple FA Cups, Aubameyang with Arteta. Like, we've had that success within the last, my lifetime as a genuine Arsenal fan. So it's not the end of the world.
But that was also on the come down of, like, being perennial title challengers.
Not really, though.
Right?
Perennial top four, yeah. But no, but we had the year.
You were in it in 2008, I remember.
Okay, that's almost 20 years ago.
I know. That's too far.
The benchmark should be in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. Within the last 10 years, the last time I can remember us being second, besides like this Arteta era, was the Leicester season. And even then, Tottenham lost on the last save for us to go second. Ever since then, we haven't really been close. The one season we were close was the Leicester season. Yeah. Even then, we were still however far back.
Pretty far, yeah.
So I get your point. And hopefully we come back in the Carabao Cup.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day,
what I'm saying is
not a deal breaker for me right now.
It does change. Like, remember I told you 2 weeks ago that it changes the narrative.
Psychologically,
enough,
yes.
Like, at least short term enough where you don't have the fucking idiots in front of the Emirates calling Arteta a terrorist. Mm.
That's well, they are a whole other problem. But yeah, that's the short term boost of vibes around the arena, around the fan base, around the players. Absolutely. And I can't disregard that.
Yeah.
So that's why, in that sense, you're right. And especially in a season like this, imagine we go out and win 2-0 against Newcastle in the first leg, and then we eventually go through. That's a whole different vibe. But since we lost, and then we lost in the FA Cup right after, it just compounded on each other. And it's rah, 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 rah. But you're 100% right. The short-term boost is definitely a thing. And it happened with Ten Hag at the end of the last season as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's the reason why he stayed. That's the reason why he was here in October to get sacked.
There's another
had he lost that final, he was.
But there's another perfect example of it doesn't correlate to genuine footballing success as a whole.
True.
Short term, yes. Vibes, yes. But as a whole, you see with Ten Hag, he was gone in 3 months.
I'm talking about your narrative in the fan base.
Absolutely.
Like, fan sentiment changes with a trophy.
That's undisputable. So,
yeah.
Okay.
That's my bit.
Cool.
Other things with that game. The ref.
Yeah, we can do ref talk. I just think it was. I just think it's the ref was terrible. Absolutely.
The ref, I should say. I've sat on this pod a couple times and talked my shit about VAR, but I think yesterday was a good case study on where if VAR can be used the right way in the right cases, not by freaking idiots, then it's good for football. It's better than like these horrendous performances that you're going to get sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was terrible. Like the penalty. I
have no sympathy. I've dealt with this the whole year in Arsenal's case. Like, again, I'm pretty sure someone in that game kicked the ball away. I think it was Garnacho or someone.
I remember.
You know what I'm talking about?
But he got booked for it.
No, he didn't. There's another one. Like, there's always these, there's little ones you don't notice.
A whole team.
Where he just kicks the ball away and it even if it's a millisecond, it stops a minute, a second of play. Mm. But, you know, ever since that rule, that big fiasco, things have calmed down. So I like, sure, the ref was terrible. I have no sympathy, though. I really don't. I never would. Because it's happened to us on multiple occasions. Like, I don't care. Complain about the ref, you won. So who gives a shit?
Refs are just terrible in general. I'm saying you've had really bad referee performances against you. You've had some really good referee performances for you. Well, and that was one of them.
Not a recent history.
United have had some good refereeing performances too. Like, bad performances that have helped us.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm good. Okay. I'm good as well. Let's cover El Clasico.
Let's do it.
I don't even... Like, what was the competition even?
Supercopa.
The Supercopa. So it's the winner of...
The cup versus the winner of
so
the
it's like what you got. I don't know why you guys don't... I like it as a preseason thing. I don't know why.
No, I kind of like it. As like the Kickstarter to...
To a new year?
To the new year. I like it.
Barca and
Real. What I don't like is that I was played in Saudi.
It's a money
that's,
grab.
That's disgusting. Disgusting. Yeah.
Barca and Real just keep like going back and forth on like who's better and who's worse. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just seems like no one's taking any real foothold in the
right now,
Clásico
it's,
right
it's
now.
One-way traffic for sure right now.
When they come up against each other, yeah. But like in general of like, oh, you're in good form. You're in bad form.
Yeah,
this team's better. This team's better.
Right, right.
But yeah.
No, totally.
Let's go through the game. It looked like in the first 5 minutes that this was going to be a Kylian Mbappe legacy game. He scored a beautiful solo goal to make it 1-0 to Real Madrid just 5 minutes in. But then Lamine Yamal responds with an even better goal. Can I say Messi-esque?
The pass on that goal is truly incredible. Not many people are talking about it. Lewandowski's pass to put Yamal in space is second to none. It's art, seriously.
Yeah.
Without the quality of Lewandowski, that goal doesn't exist.
I agree.
Yes, the Lamine Yamal finish is incredible, and what he does is definitely Messi-esque, I would say.
Yeah.
Because we've seen Messi do that before. Lewandowski should get
Lewandowski was really good. Lewandowski in the past couple of months has kind of gone back to like the Lewandowski of last season where like the fans were like getting on his back a little bit and talking shit.
I mean, it's almost like the coach that coached him at his prime is coaching him again.
There you go. Right? That's a good point.
Yeah.
In 18 matches in La Liga, how many goals do you think he has?
Yeah, Lamine Yamal?
No.
Lewandowski. So he's on pen, so he's probably a little inflated on that. 18 matches, 18, 19 goals, 20 goals.
I was going to say like 12.
Okay, that's 16.
16.
Okay.
So that's crazy. That pace is like 30 goals over a 38 game. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
It's insane.
Like he's, again, I say this every time.
Back to goal.
Bulls bias.
Back to goal, he's
really underrated.
Back to goal, he's the best striker in the world.
He is like the ultimate number nine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like Suarez was obviously the more, you know, flashy and game breaker kind of player, but I think Lewandowski might be like the most complete nine you've ever seen.
Totally,
fair. He's ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, you can glaze.
I'll miss prime level, man.
Oh, me too, sure. Man. When he retires, it's gonna hit different.
And the Polish national team is screwed. So,
yeah, has he already retired from Poland?
I don't think so. No.
Really? Wow, he's holding it down. Besides that, Rafinha turns to the best player in the world again. Like, I'm running out of words for that guy. Like, I don't know how a Leeds player who looked really bad on Barca just last season.
Yeah.
A lot of fans saying that he should go. And he's just turned into, like, Ronaldinho this year.
Again, what the powers of a good coach can do to a player and to a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he was a great player on Leeds. I was really enjoying him under Marcelo Bielsa.
Yeah.
Then he goes to Barcelona, kind of shits the bed a little bit, and
now a lot of players have done, like Ferran Torres.
Yeah, no, totally.
Ferran Torres can do really well.
He's hated in Barcelona right now.
Oh my god, yeah, that's a signing we don't talk about. It's just being bad, terrible.
Yeah, Ferran Torres for sure.
Yeah,
I kind of want to bring up Jules Koundé, best right back in the world right now, turned into prime.
He's class, man.
Philipp Lahm during that performance.
Yeah,
and locked up Mbappe. Sure, Vinicius had a couple good dribbles on him, but ultimately Koundé always holds it down, always locked up whoever the defender is, whether it was at the Euros against Leao, against Nico Williams. Mm-hmm. I can go on and on about the names that he's locked up, and that pass to Rafinha for the third goal is pinpoint, and it is beautiful.
I know,
he's the best right back in the world right now, without a doubt.
He was like one of those. Because obviously he was more of a central defender earlier on. Mm-hmm. He was like one of the central defenders that kind of looked like more like a fullback. Like, you know how like the Gvardiols and the Ben Whites and whoever, they kind of were just forced out? Totally. He kind of fits the fullback role perfectly.
I agree.
So he's like the anti-Pep transition fullback.
And you just know that a couple years back, if he went to Chelsea instead of Barcelona, his career would be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would be half the player he is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I guarantee.
It's good that Xavi found him as a better right back than he is a center back.
Yeah.
Because, man, as a right back, he's incredible,
yeah,
truly.
He's really good.
Yeah.
He's truly incredible.
To round this out quickly, let's talk a little bit of shit about Madrid.
Yes.
We do have to talk a little bit
of shit about Madrid. I definitely have a couple players that I need to mention here.
Bellingham, Vinicius. Wow. I thought this was like one of their worst games in a Real Madrid shirt, genuinely.
Vinicius, yes. Bellingham. I don't want to hate on Bellingham right now because he's on really great form.
He has been lately, and that's why it's disappointing. Mm.
I understand the argument of it's El Clasico, you can't have an off game and you should be blamed if you play bad. But at the end of the day, if there's one player that's saving this Real Madrid team right now in the form that they've been, it's primarily Bellingham.
Yeah.
So the off game is put aside. Camavinga for me, had an awful game.
Man, he only played a half, right?
Yeah, he got subbed off at
have.
Exactly.
I mean, for Danny Ceballos, if you're getting subbed off for Danny Ceballos, like, you know, you've had a
he was playing. Like, he plays a lot for them though.
Danny Ceballos, what? Yeah.
I know. But
I know what you're saying.
Like, Danny Ceballos, you don't think of Iniesta, you know?
He was playing for Barcelona. He could have put on a Barcelona shirt to make it a little less obvious. The volume of his game was just awful. No progressive passes on the ball, just looks very stale. Lateral passes, negative football. Got caught in possession a couple times. And thank God he got subbed off at halftime, because if it was a 90-minute game for him, it would have been way worse.
Are we positive this is Ancelotti's last year?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And I think if it was six or seven, one or two more goals, he would have been sacked by this morning.
You think?
Totally. 100%. I think there's that cushion that he won the Champions League last season, so he'll stay manager until the end of the season. I think the plan is very clear for Real Madrid. Ancelotti's last season, Xabi Alonso comes to Real Madrid, and Zidane will go to France.
Yeah.
You can't continue with Carlo Ancelotti. I don't think his football is good in the modern day.
I said this earlier in the season, but I don't care if Real Madrid win Copa del Rey, Champions League, everything else. If they lose the league to Barcelona, and I know this wasn't in the league, but if they lose the league to Barcelona or even to Atletico, if they simply, with this squad, don't win La Liga, I don't care about injuries, I don't care about circumstances, nothing. It's a disgrace.
Absolutely.
When you're competing against Atletico Madrid, who I know are a good team, fantastic manager, but compared to the squad you have, does not compete. And then don't even get me started on Barcelona with the teenagers that they have. They're not, they shouldn't be ready to be competing for a La Liga title, but Real Madrid, due to their ineptitude in some games, are allowing that to happen. So I know the players can't be sacked. You're not going to ship Mbappe off after a season, yeah, but you cannot have that be acceptable. And
to play devil's advocate, I'm not saying you're wrong. They're still second in La Liga, 5 points up on Barca. So, again, it does kind of reflect on the cup competition, and it's not exactly certain reality, but the underlying issues are there. And with the signing of Mbappe and the just this personnel alone, you would expect them to not be second and be first, right? So
totally,
you, bro. It's like buying a league title, but you don't get, like, it just doesn't work.
But that's been the case with,
I know, Galactico's problem. So
a lot of instances of sport where money hasn't bought the success that they thought.
My team's the prime example.
Yeah. The Dodgers for a while until this season.
Oh, yeah.
City for a while until they finally won the Champions League. Mm-hmm. Eventually, money talks. So maybe fuck. But then you just sold your best player, so I don't know.
Just the politics of Real Madrid. I feel for Ancelotti, because that's got to be tough, bro.
Oh, totally. 100%.
And Xabi Alonso, if or when he does come, he's going to have a brutal job just figuring out the dressing room.
We've said it before on this podcast. Managing that many egos should not be a one-man job, and there shouldn't be that many egos
when it came to Arsenal
in this team. Okay.
What?
Okay.
Brother.
Anyways.
Yeah, really poor Madrid, really good Barca. Barca are just so inconsistent, but when they get it together, they're like the best team in the world, and certainly the most fun to watch.
I feel like all the teams are inconsistent, besides Atletico, but didn't Atletico, oh my God, Atletico are on a crazy, dude, Atletico haven't not won a game since October 31st.
Wow.
They're perfect since October 31st.
That's crazy. Yeah.
No wonder they're in
first place.
Yeah. Like in the league, in the Champions League, they're perfect.
Mm-hmm. I think part of what you said is why I don't think Barcelona is going to win the league this year. They're too inconsistent against the bad teams.
Yeah.
The points that you should be getting, the fixtures that you check off on your calendar as easier.
Yeah.
Those are the fixtures that they tend to slip up in, and then the big games they show out, like in this game against Madrid here. So I don't think that they're going to do it. I mean, this marathon is too long for these teenagers. It'll probably be Madrid still. I still think it's going to be Real Madrid. Be great to see Atletico win, obviously, but
yeah,
I don't think Barcelona is going to do it.
Fair.
Okay, shall we move on to the tier list?
I just quickly want to say Tottenham are still awful. I got
fair.
Taken to extra time by Tamworth.
Yep.
And then that just quickly, that just brings the argument up of should there be replays? Because that incentivizes, you know, it gives the smaller teams another
chance. Fair, yeah. That's actually a really good point.
But at the same time, it also just gives Tottenham chance at home more of a chance to smash them.
But also the players of that small team to go and play in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Absolutely.
That is massive for them.
So that's but then you have Pep saying there's too many games. So it's, you know what I'm saying? Like it goes in many which ways. I don't know which one is right. A year ago, when they abolished this rule, I would have said, you know what, there's too many games. But then you look at it from a ground roots level of football.
I like the history of it.
You know? Yeah, so it's hard. But Tottenham, even though they technically won, they still suck.
Yeah, they scored 3 in extra time. Yeah. So weird.
Because they brought on their entire first team. Anyway.
Okay. Is it time for tier list?
It is time for tier list. Shall I explain the format?
Go ahead.
Shall.
So we gathered the 25 biggest transfers of the summer, and we will put them in a tier list with one GOAT category.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be one player in the GOAT category, the best transfer this summer. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have to separate the other players in four different categories of six. So we have the GOAT category, which is going to be one player, WARA signing, six players, good transfer, six players, we not here, six players, and disaster class, six players.
Yeah. So it's not your typical tier list of just putting every player in whatever spot you think it is. There's some tough calls here.
Yeah.
Because, like, bro, there's some in my disaster class that I'm like, damn, that's harsh.
So yeah,
there's some in my war signing. I'm like, am I being a little bit too nice?
Yeah, I agree.
But
I
that's
agree.
The nature of the game.
So we all made our tier list separately. And the one that's going to be shown here is the aggregate tier list. So
yes.
Like, The
so we gotta come to an agreement.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. So like if there's two people that want WAR signing and one good transfer is obviously gonna go to WAR signing.
Okay. Let's go.
Perfect.
So let's go player by player.
The first player up is Aaron Ramsdale.
Okay. Blake, I wanna hear this from you first. As the Arsenal fan and the Aaron Ramsdale apologist, where do you have him?
Disaster class.
Disaster class?
Yeah.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I looked at everyone else. I don't think he was that bad of a signing. I think it was a fine signing. But at the end of the day, Southampton are still going to go down. So it wasn't really the goal of the signing was for Aaron Ramsdale as a player. I'm going to look at it on both sides. Aaron Ramsdale was a player, wanted to help keep them up, and he's not going to keep them up. And then also, look at the rest of the signings. I would have put him in, like, we not here because he's been hurt. He's made mistakes this season so far. But he's still a good keeper. But I just think, at the end of the day, it's just a very mid signing.
Wow.
I put him in we not here. I don't think it was a good signing for Southampton. I think it was a good signing for Ramsdale, which is why I put him in we not here. Because for his confidence, I think it was good to go to a club like Southampton. Even though it's not going the best, I feel like that was expected.
What did it for me is I see 6 months later, I see West Ham are in for him. I see Newcastle's in for him. And that is due to him having some good performances.
Yeah.
Like, however which way you want to cut.
He's
had some good performances. He's had some Ramsdale moments.
Yeah.
He's had some shitters. But I think he's had more good performances than bad, especially for a Southampton keeper. I think he's actually performed beyond expectations.
Absolutely.
His transfer value has gone up by the metrics that I see here.
Fair.
And for that reason, you could definitely argue with me on this, but I put him in good transfer.
Being
all right.
That's crazy. Being in Southampton automatically puts you as a keeper, if you make your saves, in the upper percentile of saves made in a game. Because Southampton concede crazy amount of shots every single game. So for him, great, great transfer because he'll get to prove his shot-stopping abilities. And like you said, West Ham are in for him. I don't know who else you said, but
Newcastle as well.
Newcastle are in for him.
Yeah.
So multiple clubs, multiple top tier clubs are in for him.
So it's a we can put it in
the aggregate here.
I think
is
we not
here.
Yeah. I honestly wanted to do, but again, I wanted to be as I don't know. I wanted to some of these players I like the French league player that I have maybe above him.
Talk to me, Ben.
I don't know.
Talk to me, nice.
Should we go to Desiree Doué? Should we do that? Can I do that?
If you want, you can. We can go to Desiree Doué. Sure.
Okay, let's.
Because I had Desiree Doué in We Not Here. Because I don't think he's been a good signing. You haven't talked about him much, and from what I've seen on Twitter and what I've watched, very little games. But you know the advanced stats, which I'm going to bring up a lot today. they haven't they haven't loved this guy, and you haven't loved this guy. And I don't know where you have him, but that's a player where I just didn't want to look like a homer by putting Ramsdale above him.
I don't want to say I don't love this guy, because it's not true. However, we not here is fair for him.
Yes, okay. I put him there too.
It's okay. Totally fair okay. for him, because he was expected to come in the squad and be that backup for Barcola, be that backup for Dembele. He's a very versatile player. He can play on the left wing and on the right wing. As I said, he can also play in the midfield.
Okay.
And he's came in the squad and hasn't delivered in any of the positions that he's played in.
Right.
He's had two good games. Lately, it was pretty recently. He's had two good games in December where he scored two goals back-to-back, which is, it's okay. It's not what we want as a player. The fact that we're now looking at Kvaratskhelia as a Barcola alternative
right.
yeah. speaks volumes, because yeah. we were looking at Désiré Doué to be that guy for the Barcola replacement.
Yeah.
That tells me that he's not doing a very good job, and with my eyes, I can see that he's not doing a very
it's
good job.
It's also 50 million pounds.
Yeah. 50 million euros. Is a lot.
Euros, sorry.
He was one of the biggest French prospects in Ligue 1, however, so I guess that price would be justified for any other club. But with the performances that he's putting up, I totally agree, we not here. I like his dribbling. I like what he can offer. He reminds me of Neymar a little bit sometimes when he's on the ball. Hmm. But ultimately, it's not enough.
Désiré Doué's gonna have to go. Five starts in Liga, like, it's just not doing it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree. He's also in We Not Here.
Désiré Doué in We Not Here.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Next is Scott McTominay, lads.
Oh.
To Napoli.
Can we all say it on three?
Let me yeah. just say.
War a signing. What'd you say?
War a signing.
Oh, okay. Go! No, I'm kidding. I mean, low-key, if he kept his form up, if he kept his goal tally form up from the start of the season, it could have been the go conversation, for sure. But yeah. His tally and his like actual goal output and involvement has gone down, but his performances and his effect on the game and Napoli being first place in Serie A, yep. that hasn't dropped.
Totally. Absolutely. You're playing for the first place team in one of the most competitive leagues in Europe, if not the tightest league in the world mm-hmm. in Europe.
You're in a new country. You don't speak the language.
Yeah. You don't speak the language.
Coming from a toxic-ass environment.
Yep. The coach doesn't really speak the language. I mean, he's had a stint in England, but he's a native Italian. You don't know how to communicate with your teammates, but you're still putting in these performances week in, week out. Subpar performance. Sorry.
Above par performances.
Apologies.
That one.
So that I don't see any other placement for Scott McTominay than War signing.
Yeah.
He's relieved that midfield so much.
Just his like goal scoring statistics among like midfielders in the Serie A is like crazy. Like it's wild.
95th percentile? Mm-hmm. Who are we talking? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
98th percentile.
Wow.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to use this narrative the whole time. Why not, bro?
Shout out Scott, man. I'm happy for the guy. Yeah. Totally. I'm happy for the guy.
He's a fun
player.
No controversy so far in this tier list.
Not really, no.
Next up, Dom Solanke, lads, to Tottenham.
Ooh, and this was for, let's remind the viewers of the price on 60? This one. Because that's a big factor.
60 mil? I think it was.
I think 60 million pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we thinking, lads?
Yeah, 64 million.
I'm personally, I'm not here.
I will not be attending.
I'm not here.
I will not be attending.
Okay. I'm not attending either.
No.
All right.
Okay, so this is perfect. Crazy. We're kind of, the only thing was the Rams that won, and I would have put Rams on We Not Here if I could, but I just didn't want to be a homer. Mm-hmm. I tried to take bias out of it.
Yeah. Fair.
I understand that he's scoring goals for Tottenham, but any other striker would be doing the same thing.
Richarlison could have probably been doing
Richarlison had a great stint last season, and everybody was copying him on FPL. Yeah. I remember that. I think I even had him on my team, which says a lot because Richarlison's a bum. Anyways, the numbers that he's produced last season compared to this season for a worse team,
I know,
night and day.
And there's no different league excuse. Like
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And there's no
in a more attacking system as well.
Yeah, I know.
Like
yeah, you would think
you'd be getting your chances at Tottenham.
100%.
So yeah, I'm glad we agree on that one.
Same. Oh my god, guys, why are we agreeing on everything?
We not here is already half full.
That is not normal. All right, next up is Emile Smith Rowe to Fulham.
I put him in good transfer. I think when you consider kind of the thought that we had around Emile Smith Rowe this time last year, he was completely out of the Arsenal squad. He gets a new start at Fulham, 30 million euros. But I think the main argument here is the season that Fulham is having and how big of a part Emile Smith Rowe is. I think he's dealt with injuries a little bit, but even like when he has been in the team, he's been dishing out assists like dinner. he looks fantastic out there. And Fulham having like one of their best Premier League seasons ever.
Mm-hmm.
So
straight up.
30 million fee? I agree.
I agree too. Good transfer. Yeah. I don't think it's an outrageous price tag. And for a player that was firing off all cylinders at Arsenal and is proven in the Premier League, it's totally justifiable to put him in good transfer.
Could have used him right now.
Could
exactly. Yeah. That narrative as well, like the, we need a Neil Smith role right now from a title challenger.
Not need, but could have used him. We just need anyone. We need anyone.
Anyway. Yeah. So Smith Rowe going in good transfer then?
Yeah. Okay.
Lads, next up we have João Felix.
Oof. I have been good transfer.
This is my first disaster class.
What?
And I have been we not here.
Interesting.
And I, you know how much I love João Felix.
So I think what he adds is so different to the rest of, like, it's a different style than to the rest of the attack. And I think his flair or whatever you want to call it, I think is kind of attractive. And he's scoring goals, not in the Prem, but he's not scoring. And Chelsea are doing well.
I don't think paying 50 million for a Conference League player is justifiable whatsoever. That's he what plays I'm saying, minimal dude. Minutes in the Premier League and in the Conference League where he should be scoring goals because he's miles above everyone else. Yeah. He's doing the bare minimum. He's doing his job. I'm sorry, but Chelsea's business this season, and I mean in the previous seasons, hasn't been great. João Felix is a prime example of that.
Bro, you know what? I thought when I was putting him in this tier list that he was alone with an option to buy. I completely forgot that Chelsea outright bought him.
Yeah.
For 50 million euros I kind of forgot crazy.
That. You know what? I kind of forgot about that.
Now considering, I put him in We Not Here originally, considering disaster class.
Want a downgrade?
In the Premier League, he has one goal, one assist, only 5 starts. Like,
I just think
for 50 mil?
50 million, one
start?
Yeah,
you can put a disaster class. I just like the...
I mean, it's up to you because you're the one outbalancing it right now.
Go ahead.
We have 3 We Not Here so far. Listen. We have 3 We Not Here so far already. If we have Felix in there, we'll have 4. That puts 2 more spaces for We Not Here.
Yeah, okay.
So, disaster class, right?
Disaster class. Put him in disaster class.
Put him in disaster class.
And I got a player that I'll move up to We Not Here.
You know what? I can swap. I can swap like João Felix and Ramsdale. That's fine.
That makes sense to me. So, the first disaster class is João Felix.
And it's really tough with the Chelsea wingers. Because there's a lot of them in this tier list.
Right.
But there's crazy competition out there.
Well, that's what I like about him. He's like different than the other wingers. He's not just head down. He kind of...
They spent 150 million on wingers.
Yeah, that's fair. I wish we did. Fuck.
Next player on this list is Turn Coop Miners. To Juventus from Atalanta.
So straight up admitting, we're not the biggest Juventus watchers.
Yeah.
Totally.
However... Us being us,
yeah.
Being a competent podcast producers, we did our research.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked into the depths of JuveFan.com, Juventus Twitter.
Advanced stats, baby.
All the news outlets and advanced stats on FootMob, all of that stuff. And Coop Miners and Douglas Luiz, Coop Miners in particular, is having a really rough season at Juventus.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like been a symptom of just kind of like the flat season that Juve are having.
Yeah.
Like in
very
general.
Stale season
but
that Juve are having.
Just in general, Coop Miners, when you consider the price as well, which is 52 million euros.
Coming off a great season.
Totally. I was going to say.
A great
last season,
like
one of the most productive midfielders in Serie A.
Yeah.
Widely regarded as the best midfielder in Serie A.
Yeah.
The only excuse I can make for him is that Thiago Motta is not playing him in his position. I see him starting as a 10, which is...
An attacking mid, yeah.
Yeah, he's more of a double... He'd probably be better in a double pivot.
Double pivot, yeah, it makes sense.
I don't know if I'm going to put the blame on Thiago Motta because, I mean, at the end of the day, you're...
Give the man time.
Give him time, but Coop Miners needs to step up totally. He's wasteful in front of the net. He's tall too, so on corners he's supposed to be getting some headers in over the bar. When he shoots, it's over the ball. It's over the bar. He can't make simple passes. He's been lacking the final pass. Yeah, the performances just don't justify the price tag whatsoever.
Yeah. So I have him in disaster class.
Disaster class as well for me.
Ooh.
Where do you have him?
I have him in We Not Here.
We Not Here?
But you can do disaster class. That's fine.
Sounds good here.
Yeah. All right.
Next player up on the list is Pedro Neto, another Chelsea winger.
Ah, there you go. For me, in my original list, I had him right next to João Felix and We Not Here. And I think I'll keep him there.
See,
he kind of is the same issue as Jean Felix, but they paid even more for him.
I don't, yeah.
But he's had some good moments, like the equalizer against Arsenal.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I had him in good transfer.
Wow.
Because once again, I like the player. And if we're just talking about output for wingers, that's not only the thing that matters. And I think he actually does control play pretty well. And his counter ability is very, very good. What do you have?
I have him, but we not here. Again, it's a price tag thing. It's a lack of game time thing,
yeah,
and lack of production thing. If you're going to be coming into Chelsea for that price tag and produce as minimal as he's producing, he had one good game against United, and I never heard of him.
So what I'm going to propose then is let's do Sancho as well. Because
you want to rank him
Sancho
as well?
Was in We Not Here. Sancho was in We Not Here for me.
For me,
for
Sancho
a little bit, yeah. But is I have him in good transfer.
That's
now.
What I mean. So if we want to swap those,
let's do that
on the thing that because Sancho's on.
What do you mean swap those?
And on my list.
Oh, okay.
The output has been more there for Sancho, but I think Pedro Neto in the long term.
Sancho has cemented his place in the lineup.
Yeah,
and that's more that you could say for Felix and. For Neto.
Yeah.
Right? And you know I'm not biased because I fucking hate Jadon Sancho and I love my Portuguese boys. So Jadon Sancho with a loan with obligation to buy, but for only £25 million, like that is a bargain in today's market.
Yeah.
And Chelsea have got a good little player for
and
now.
He's producing decent numbers too. It's not like
producing decent like even moments, like the last Premier League game, like how he like skinned that defender and got the assist. Like
it's those moments like you said that can flip a game on its head.
Yes.
He's that type of winger, the dangerous wingers that take your man on and look down and create chances. That's what Sancho does very well. And
I still
he's
think Pedro Neto has that ability too.
I think he has bigger upside.
Yeah.
I think his ceiling's higher.
But that's not what we're rating it on. Right?
But it's the last 6 months. Yeah. And the last 6 months, Jadon Sancho has done much more.
I get it.
Totally.
I get it.
And to only get Jadon Sancho after a great Champions League campaign for Dortmund for £30 million,
yeah.
I was on this pod saying that his performances were bumping his price up 20, 30 million.
Yeah.
And they got him for 30, so.
Yep.
It's very good for good business for Chelsea.
Who's next, Anto?
The next signing is Endrick to Real Madrid.
Oh, here we go. What do you have?
Lads, I personally will not be attending this one. I'm not here.
Mm.
I'm even lower than that.
Okay.
I was even lower, too.
Wow.
But. Since I moved, who did I move down? Did I move? I moved Solanke down, right? Who
you moved
down?
No. Or Felix down.
Felix is in disaster class. So then I was like, okay, I'll move Endrick up too.
If you can make me a good argument as to why Endrick should be in disaster class, I mean, I don't mind hearing it out because here we have four We Not Here's and two disaster class.
Well, even though it was a long time ago, you have to consider price.
Totally.
It was, and, what was it? 100? No.
No, it's like 60 million euros. On like a 16 year old.
Yeah, 60 million euros for just.
And the amount of hype has been so much. And like at a point, you need to have like, I know he's super young and he has like crazy potential. And at only 18 years old, like we are not here to doubt that whatsoever. But we are judging off of the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And over the last 6 months in La Liga, he has not had one single start and he's only played 90 minutes and he's got a goal, which is good stats per 90. But
it's like,
I know it's a tough squad to break into,
but then loan him. Don't
know.
Like you spent money on him. Then you bought the best striker in the fucking world. And then you're going to have this masterful young talent, supposedly the next R9 or whatever, just rotting on your bench. So that's why it's disaster class, because the way they're handling it is just disgraceful. And Real Madrid have done that. They did that with Odegaard. They're doing it with Endrick. They've done it with, oh my God, who am I thinking of?
Arda Güler,
who's starting more now, uh-huh. but playing more now. But still, it's not unknown for them to do something like this. So I just think it's an...
But this is, like, the thing with Endrick is we... are not doubting for a second that he's going to be part of Real Madrid's future. Mm-hmm. I do think there's a good player there. He's had good performances this season.
Yeah.
But like when you take the age and the context out of it, we are just judging the first few months of the season. And over the first few months of the season, he has been a 60 million euro signing
that has done nothing.
Stuck on the bench.
What's the point? There's no point.
So obviously potential is still there, of course. Mm-hmm. And maybe we're being a little bit too harsh. But... just because of the nature of this tier list, somebody has to go in there.
I agree.
So,
Disaster
Endrick.
Disaster class it is.
Yeah.
Matisse de Ligt next. I know Julian's a big fan of this guy.
I got Matthijs de Ligt in good transfer.
I was going to say.
And yeah, so do I.
He's not worth signing.
I love that, Julian. Putting the bias aside.
Yeah.
It's great. We paid a decent sum for him. Not like anything crazy, but we paid a decent sum for him and Mazraoui together. And I saw, I thought it was like in his first or second game, he had like a little bit of a shaky performance, and I saw the media just jump on him. And I was like, oh, it's going to be the same thing that I've seen so many times with new big high-profile United signings. But since then, he has sneakily become like one of our most important players. And in a back three system under Amorim, he is so crucial to our future success. And he's not even like, he's so experienced and he could be such a leader for this team. And he is still so young. And for the future of United and our leadership, I'm so excited about De Ligt.
Well said.
I love that. I don't think I can
I wasn't going to be delusional and like, you know, put him up in worth signing, but
fair.
I've been loving him so far.
Fair. Perfect. That makes things easier.
There you go.
Next up is Savinho.
Savinho.
From Girona to Manchester City.
This might be controversial, but I also have been good transfer.
What?
What the fuck?
I over the past couple of weeks, he's been playing better, and I think there's still potential there for him at Man City.
So I wanted to put him Wien on here, but I couldn't. I couldn't find space for him. So on my original list, he's in disaster
class. He's in disaster class for me as well. I don't think that's ridiculous at all.
It's not ridiculous to say that. It's not ridiculous to say that.
No, seriously, it's not.
Look, and the eye test on this guy, Pat, he passes the eye test.
Sure.
In my opinion, sure. He passes the eye test.
There is a lack of final product in this player that kills me because he is so good on the dribble, but he just cannot find a finishing touch.
But he has been finding, which is like Grealish. Like, he's been finding finishing touches as
in the last two games. Sure.
Yes.
In the last two games.
Against Salford.
But we're judging off of six
months.
No,
not against Salford. Against West Ham. Like his assist for Haaland.
Okay.
Like that was beautiful.
We're judging Julian based off of the last 6 months. When I see a player that was firing off all cylinders last season in a fourth place Girona team that made Champions League, and I see him now pulling out this shit, I cannot put him anywhere above disaster class.
How much did they sign him for?
I think they might have got him.
Look. Oh, I can't 40? See.
On free?
If it's free, lads,
no.
It's not free. I think it's like 30 or 40.
I got it.
It was 40. 40 M's.
40. I was right, bro.
40 million pounds or euros?
30 million pounds. 40 million euros.
Oh, 30 million pounds. Lads. That's peanuts.
For them, though.
For them,
for
it's peanuts. Yeah. But you're starting at City in a team that wants to.
You can't put him anywhere above we not here, though, in my opinion.
He's been like.
For the last 2 weeks?
He's been City's best winger, bro. Even better than Foden.
Yeah, and they've been, and look at their position. That tells you all you need to know. He's been City's best winger in City's worst season in the last 9 years.
I thought he's been
you
like one of their,
in a circle
I
there.
Genuinely think he's been one of City's like only bright sparks this whole season.
We can put a Wien on here. I'm fine with that.
All right,
I
fine.
I think the aggregate is fine, says Wien not here. That's crazy. Good transfer.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
Considering price and considering
that they're in fourth place.
I watch more of him. Maybe that's why I'm more
fair.
Like...
Fair.
But Blake is going to love this next one. It's Raheem Sterling.
Disaster class.
Disaster class.
Because it's actually terrible because we're paying his wages for him to sit and do nothing. And when he does come on, he just... I was telling you guys this earlier. He literally... He's like the one player who I guess Arteta's system isn't instilled in yet. So he'll just like run at people and he'll lose the ball every time. He'll never get past them. And then Arsenal fans are like, oh, look at what Sterling offers. It's so different. At least he'll go in and take on a player. And it's like Sterling lost the ball like 7 times in the last 10 minutes. But, you know, he's not passing backwards. So I guess it's a win.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Blake.
There you go.
Mazraoui next.
It's worth signing.
Yeah.
It's worth signing.
I have him more.
Okay. I have him in good transfer.
No.
So we haven't had, he's been like,
too low.
besides that little dip, he had a little dip a month ago or 3 weeks ago. He had a little dip in form.
Yeah, he had a little.
Yeah, but he's been pretty solid. Pretty solid.
So for me, this this debate between water, because I considered water signing for Mazraoui. The debate was between Scott McTominay and Mazraoui. That was the last one I needed to make a choice.
Damn.
All right. I'm looking at this Scott McTominay is playing for the best team in Italy right now. Mm-hmm. And he's being very productive in the best team in Italy, first place in Serie A. Mazraoui is being one of the most productive players in a United team that is 14th.
Fair.
You have to look at the context.
That's fair.
That's
fair.
Why I put him in a good transfer. But since...
Some more context, you got to look at the price too.
Fair enough.
We got him for less than we sold Wan-Bissaka for.
Wow.
Crazy.
So that means Mazraoui is a second addition to the Juarez signing.
Interesting. No goat shouts yet.
Eh? No goat shouts yet.
Nope.
There might be after this one. Mikel Arena. Oh,
yeah.
It's disaster class, lad.
Like,
it's disaster
is it?
Class.
I have been. He was one of the ones where I was going to put Wiener here. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, what we thought he was going to bring, he's not a bad footballer, but he doesn't bring anything special. And when we brought him in, he was supposed to bring something special. But he's just not that special. Because Rice, Odegaard, Partey, all clear. And he was brought in to be better than one of those three. Or at least be an option, a viable option, and he hasn't.
All I'm saying, if he doesn't score that goal in the Euros against Germany, no one's picking him up.
Maybe.
I think he was an overrated...
He's not a bad player,
though. No, he's not a bad player at all. He's not Arsenal level. He's not Premier League contending level.
Well,
I had him in...
He can play in the Pred, lads. It's like...
Yeah. No, yeah, yes, yeah, but he can. Contending. Premier League contending.
Yeah, sure. Yes, yes,
I had him in We Not Here, but hey... Be my guest if you want to put him in disaster class.
Like, price too is like
40
million.
How many disaster classes do we have left?
So we have one disaster class left and one We Not Here left.
Okay.
We're going to have to stuff some of these guys in.
It's getting tight. Oh my God. We're going to have to stuff some.
How many players do we have left?
A couple.
Okay.
A couple.
Okay, so these got to be good names you're throwing at me.
I feel like the randomizer really left the good players to the end.
Yeah, that's fair.
Next up, Julian Alvarez.
Oh, well, that one's not good either.
Is it though? I have him at a solid good transfer.
I have him at a very high good transfer.
Yeah.
Guys, I have him at We Not Here, bro.
Why?
We Not Here, dude? Look. Let me...
look at Atleti's form. Who scored the winner yesterday?
Okay,
fair. Who scored the winner yesterday?
Fair. Who's the one carrying the front line, though? It's not Julian Alvarez. It's your boy.
It's Griezmann. He's not. Yeah, I mean, he's always been the most creative.
The expectation
player.
On Alvarez was never to be better than Griezmann.
He's not
good. How much did
they pay
for him?
This season? It was 80 million or 70 million.
Guys,
I think it might have been.
60. Is that
hold on?
Is 6 goals in the league worth 70 million euros?
Is 4 goals in the Champions League worth?
Fair, but
eight goal contributions in La Liga were your first. Four goal contributions in the Champions League where you're gonna finish in the top 24 and. Mm-hmm. Probably qualify for the round of 16. To me, Atletico needed a striker.
Yeah.
They splashed, and I think they hit. I think...
Look, in 19 matches in La Liga, 6 goals. As a striker, that's one of the positions where
but
you...
But he's not just
help.
A striker,
it's,
yeah,
but also,
bro.
It's also no, the then, overall...
Okay,
he's
an attacking
okay,
midfielder,
isn't just a striker.
Too.
And he's getting shit on because
he's
a right
shit.
Now. And Alvarez got off
but
to
he's
a slow...
But he's not playing
but
well
Alvarez
in general,
got,
dude.
Alvarez,
and Arsenal are losing.
Listen to me. Alvarez got off to a slow start as well. You guys are just forgetting that. Alvarez
got
off to a really slow start.
He did.
And now he's only had 6 goals in 19 matches. I don't think that's worth a good transfer for 70 million.
It's a good transfer, bro.
It's a great transfer.
It's a good transfer.
All right.
It's closer to what our signing than we know here.
You said it yourself, bro. Atleti haven't lost in the league since
and
October.
They're winning by committee. 100%. And he's a part of that, but they're winning by committee.
He's a massive. He scored the winner yesterday.
Yeah. And we're talking about 6 months, Julian, not one game.
I know.
That's why Savinho is disaster class.
I know, bro. But he's just like.
I like Atleti too.
He's putting. I'm looking at the performances here. Like, even when he's not on the score sheet, he is providing value to his team. Like, he's more than just a striker.
So
which,
is okay. I'm not having this debate because I can have this debate forever. Because neither is Havertz, neither is Jesus.
Why
so.
Are you comparing them to that?
Because
to that?
You can't.
It's not
that,
the same situation.
Because you can't use that debate. If anything, he is the out and out striker, and Griezmann's the one that's not. More of a striker.
Sorloth is probably that.
You have
no, but I mean,
you don't know
how to
play.
Sure.
Next up, Kefren Turam to Juve. I'm going to start. What a fucking signing.
Yeah.
I did my research. I put him in Juarez signing as well.
What a signing.
Only 20 million euros.
Only 20 million euros. A breath of fresh air.
I've been seeing that. Well.
Yeah. A breath of fresh air in
the
Juve team.
And the Juve fans love him.
They do love him.
Yeah.
I'm seeing shouts of reincarnated Pogba.
Yeah.
I mean, such a physical player. Juve definitely needed that player that's physical, that can bring the ball up, progressive passes, take the ball up the midfield and find the winger or the striker.
Yeah.
They needed that.
Guys, we're all going to have the same GOAT player. That's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't think this guy will, though.
Actually.
Sorry.
Yeah, actually. Okay.
It's proactive football from Kefren Turam, and that's everything that Juve needed under this new coach.
Especially in the midfield, right? When it's been kind of...
Totally.
It's good.
Totally. So I'm happy to put Kefren Turam in WAR signing. Future French legend. Mason Greenwood is up next.
I put him in GOAT. I'm kidding.
WAR signing.
I put him in WAR signing.
I put him in WAR signing.
Yeah. I put him top. Very high WAR.
At the same time, let's move on. I don't really want to talk about him that much. He doesn't just... okay.
I mean, I don't want to... I can talk about his footballing abilities.
This is one of the ones where it's like, I just don't understand how he's like actually on a pitch.
No, totally. I don't understand that either.
Innocent until proven guilty for sure, but it's like one of these ones where... like, that evidence was leaked. We all saw it.
Yeah.
Like, the party stuff, no one knew.
It's alleged. Yeah, like, you hear it, but you didn't see it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what made the
Greenwood
shit
so bad.
Like,
if Adam Johnson was...
Like, nobody really cared about the Diddy
Lads,
stuff.
Lads, can we talk about the football, please?
Holy shit.
Like, I'm out here updating the trend.
So the intro. That's so the intro.
I'm updating the tier list here. I'm hearing Diddy and shit.
Diddy, Adam Johnson.
This is a great signing for Marseille
because
they needed that player that can be clinical in front of the goal. Since Alexis Sanchez, they haven't found anyone, and now Greenwood's probably going to finish top goal scorer of Ligue 1.
He could use Alexis Sanchez right now.
He's probably going to finish top goal scorer of Ligue 1. Marseille are probably going to finish second. They're going to make Champions League. So all around, it's a great signing. It's a WAR signing.
All right, fair. All right, fair play.
Next up. Next? João Neves.
It's WAR signing.
Are we pushing GOAT, lads?
No.
I have him in GOAT.
You have him in GOAT?
What? I have him
in
GOAT.
No way.
I have him in GOAT.
Do you actually have him in GOAT?
I have him in GOAT.
Oh my God.
I put João Neves as my GOAT signing of the window.
He's like at the top end of WAR signing.
He's been...
Do you have him in GOAT too?
Has he been...
Okay, good.
I don't have him in GOAT.
Okay, so ranking PSG players this season, where is he?
He's first.
Okay, so
he's been the best.
So he's been PSG's best player. He's been arguably Liga's best player this season. He's young. You got him at a good transfer value. And he's going to be like the floor, like at minimum, your Marco Verratti for the next 10 years.
Don't make me. But I think the guy I have at GOAT, what he's shown and his also upside that he can provide is
that as well. And at this point, I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
Which, fair.
A player I once hated.
Yes. Which this is very ironic that you're putting him in GOAT.
Anyway, when we get to it.
No, João Neves, I mean, I would have put him GOAT too, but I thought I was being a little bit...
No, genuinely.
Hey, we can
It's not even the Benfica stuff.
It's not even the my GOAT. If you guys don't agree with my GOAT, or like, if we have the same GOAT and he doesn't agree with it, and he's like lower by a lot,
you can always change.
Then we can bring him up.
You can change.
Oh my God.
There's no way we don't have the same...
You can change. You can change.
There's no way we don't have the same GOAT.
Yeah, no, you guys have the same
GOAT. But he's been our best player by far this season. The only bright spot in this team.
And he's a cutie.
Not the only bright spot, but... Yeah,
he wears his shirt tucked in.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yes, he has aura to him.
No, totally.
Yeah.
I just love those players, the low center of gravity players that can just dish out passes left, right, center. That's what I love, and I love him. Anyways.
Damn, I was really expecting you to put him GOAT.
Michael Olise is next.
Yeah, and that's your GOAT?
That's my GOAT.
That's your GOAT?
Yeah. That's my GOAT.
What?
What? What?
That's your GOAT?
No, you're lying.
I swear to God. He's WAR signing for me.
You don't have him in GOAT?
I do not have
Mbappe. Who's your GOAT?
You'll see, man.
He's Mbappe at GOAT,
you'll
bro.
You'll see,
are you
man.
Fried?
No,
what are you talking?
Where do you have him?
Brother.
Where do you have him?
Who?
Olise.
I have him at WAR signing.
Oh, fuck. Wait. Wait, this is not good.
Oh, no.
Because there's another player
in here.
Also,
you're just saying it's wrong. His name is Miguel. Let's relax. But
we're so downgrading Mazraoui later.
Honestly, Miguel.
Oh, no.
Oh, we're so downgrading Mazraoui later. It's crazy.
Also, Miguel Olise, though, again, if you told me a year ago that Miguel would go on to Bayern.
Okay, can you please? Just call Michael.
If Olise was going to go to Bayern, I would have been like, you know what? Maybe they should have taken an
Eze. You fucking smoking.
No, listen. I would have been like, maybe they should have taken Eze. They were very close in their abilities and in their form and what they could offer to a team. But Olise has shown that he is like a game breaker type of player. He's shown that on the biggest stage with one of the biggest teams in the world.
that he can not only be a player, but be like a staple on that right side, a staple in their attack, and one of the best teams in the world.
It's hard for me to put him in GOAT because I see more production in other players on this list. There's two players that I really debated the GOAT, and we haven't named him yet. I think Warwick signing is a great spot for him.
Olise has 10 goal contributions and 16 matches in the Bundesliga.
And
for a winger,
is Xerxes your GOAT?
Oh fuck!
Like you don't hate the GOAT show for Olise, do you?
I don't. I was considering. He's very high on my worst signing.
He's very good.
But just in terms of like overall package, I thought João Neves was that.
That's fair. So we can put him Aguara signing,
so
I guess.
So aggregate, we're putting him Aguara signing.
And we're putting João Neves as GOAT.
And we're full right now on Aguara signing.
Okay.
We're not putting João Neves as GOAT just yet.
Where the fuck is Mbappe going? Oh my God. This is weird.
Dude, this is bad.
The next player is Ricardo Calafiore. Let's bring it down a bit.
Yeah, we also have we have to speed up just a tad.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I don't know where to put him, guys.
He
moved from disaster class to he's not disaster class.
Oh my God, why did I put him so high? I put him at good transfer.
I did too.
I put him in Wina here.
He's just been very injury prone, but there's a good player in there.
100%. There is a good player in there.
He's the best signing we made this summer.
Yes, I agree. And we not did need a left
back. It's just the injury proneness, yeah. But he's shown things that I would put him in good transfer for.
Okay, do we have room in good transfer?
We do have room.
Okay, let's put him in good transfer.
I agree.
Let's
put Ricardo Calafiore.
I need room and we not here for this one man.
What spots do we have left quickly?
So we have three or one in good transfer, one in we not here, one in disaster class, and one in GOAT.
Okay, one in good transfer.
That's Nevis' spot. That's Nevis' spot.
Yeah, water signing is full.
What the fuck?
It's all filled up, so we're going to have to move shit around.
Yeah, we will.
Bro.
All right. Next up, lads. Uh-huh. Kylian Mbappe.
He's in water signing.
He's my GOAT.
Bro. I put him we not here.
Yeah, you're crazy. Nah, you're crazy. Nah, see, that's what I'm saying.
I put him in Wien on here.
He's going to say the price tag, and then he's going to turn around and tell me that, oh, but $70 million for Julian Alvarez was great.
The price tag? What, zero?
Okay, Mbappe can still be great, but has the last 4 months gone to expectations for Mbappe and Real Madrid? No.
So
strictly basing off of the last 6 months, it has not gone to plan.
So
there's been drama. There's been losses. There has not been production to the expectations of being the best player in the world. He has been outperformed this season by a 17-year-old Lamine Yamal.
So signing a player, signing the best player.
But you have to consider the expectation.
Let him talk.
So signing the best player in the world on a free to the best team in the world.
Lad
is a we not here.
Just because he didn't pay a transfer fee.
He won Real Madrid a trophy in the first game he's ever played for them. And just because against a very good Atalanta, who are top 8 in Champions League right now.
Okay, genuinely.
Just because he's putting below par expectations for below par performances for Mbappe, he's still playing very good, I would say. He was a free transfer. Sure, the wages are skyrocketed and super high.
He can't be GOAT, though.
He absolutely can be GOAT.
No. I'd rather put João Neves.
Lads, okay. You didn't pay a transfer fee. Instead, you gave Mbappe that 150 million euro signing fee.
That's what I said. I said if you're going to say that.
This is just insane. Mentioned wages.
But then you can also say the same thing about Julian Alvarez. So, about money. So, I'm using that.
We're not talking about Julian Alvarez anymore.
I'm just really salty about
that. What the fuck? Why are you?
Because if you're using the money thing, then I can use it against you too. But anyway.
It's crazy that buying the best or getting the best player in the world on a free.
Anyway,
don't say on a free because it wasn't free.
It was a free.
It was not free.
Okay, but we got to hurry up though. So where are we putting him?
We're bumping up João Neves to GOAT.
Yeah, that's fine. João Neves to GOAT.
And then
Mbappe signing?
Yeah.
I agree with you. Oh my God.
Are you serious right now, Julian? Are you
good
are
transfer?
You
sure.
Are you trolling?
But based off of the last couple of months, it has not been.
He's trolling. He's trolling. This is rage bait at its finest.
It is rage bait. He does that a lot.
No, I'm being dead serious. Like it has not been up to the expectations.
It's not been to Mbappe expectations. Fuck, he's still playing like one of the best players in the world.
Yeah. You have to consider expectations.
Oh my God.
Okay, just move on.
Next up. This is the other guy I was considering at GOAT, and he's gonna sneak in war signing here. We're gonna make space for him. It's Dani Olmo.
I had him in good transfer.
I had him in war signing,
but he has been very good.
He's been one of the bright spots for Barcelona. And I mean, there's many bright spots in Barcelona, but in that midfield, he is the player that they needed. They needed a creative 10 that can link up the play, and Dani Olmo is that guy. The only reason I didn't put him in GOAT ultimately is because they might not have him in a month.
Well, no, they
got that figured out.
Okay, well, then he's in conversations for GOAT.
Yeah, he's been very, his ability to just control him.
Well, this is the thing. If we're putting him GOAT, we got to move João Neves down, and then we got to move
GOAT. We're not.
GOAT is sealed.
João Neves is
GOAT is sealed.
Good. That's amazing. My guy. Good.
Honestly, I think good transfer just because of the fiasco. Because if we look at it in terms of like an actual transfer.
Like a sporting
okay. Fully context, I think it's
going to. I say we move Mbappe down.
Because Mbappe, Thuram, McTominay, Mazraoui, and Olise and Greenwood, I think, are all.
We bought him for $15 million.
Lad, we have
$15 million.
There's no way I'm walking out of the studio with Mazraoui as a water signing.
Every time anybody has talked, even the racists, bro, are like, "What a signing Mazraoui has been."
I'm agreeing with Julian. So I think Olmo has to go in good transfer.
Good transfer for all. Okay, can we move someone down then? Like, I don't mind moving like McTominay down to
move,
good transfer.
No, move Greenwood down because who cares?
No, Greenwood's a Waris. Greenwood's Waris.
Don't defend him too hard. Yeah,
just move Greenwood down because
no,
actually, if you think about it from a full context, was Greenwood that good of a signing?
You're gonna be a racist and defending us.
How am I being racist?
move Greenwood down.
No, I'm okay. If there's
you're moving a sexual offender down, it's okay, bro. It's okay.
I'm not defending a sexual offender. Fuck. I'm defending his footballing abilities. If there's two players moving down.
The case was dropped. No. Just put Greenwood down.
I hate you guys.
This is what Miles told us last week. Like, are you guys sure you want to put Greenwood
in
the list? And we're like, yeah, we won't talk about him much.
Are you serious right now? Yeah.
And then there's one more left, right? Oh, there's two more left.
Greenwood's in good transfer because we stand with woman. All right.
Well, we just stand with human rights.
That's crazy. All right.
Okay.
I mean, that leaves us with two players. Oh. Battle of the mid.
Oh boy, Douglas Luiz
is we not here.
Is disaster class.
No, because Xerxes low key, disaster class. Xerxes disaster
on
class.
My list,
I have them both in disaster class.
I
think Xerxes has shown a little bit more at Man United than Douglas Luiz has at Juventus.
To be fair, Douglas Luiz also brought Alicia Lehmann with him.
Okay, so yeah,
which has garnered them probably like a billion impressions on social media.
Okay,
so
and Xerxes got subbed off in the 30th minute, literally 3 weeks ago.
He also scored the winning penalty against you guys and waved goodbye. So
that's insane. I'm sorry. So does that mean Douglas Luiz is going in and we not here?
I think so.
And Xerxes in disaster class is that our tier list complete?
I think it's our.
Should we recap?
Quickly, yes.
Yeah, so the GOAT, the best transfer this summer, is João Neves. Wara signing, McTominay, Mazraoui.
Which is good.
Thuram, Olmo, Mbappe, Olise. Good transfer. Emil Smith-Rowe, Jadon Sancho, Matias de Ligt, Julian Alvarez, Ricardo Calafiori, and Mason Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
Snubbed. We not here. Ramsdale, Doué, Solanke, Pedro Neto, Savinho, Douglas Luiz. And disaster class, the worst transfers of the summer. João Felix, Tuan Koopmeiners, Endrick, Sterling, Mikel Merino, and Joshua Zirkzee.
I love it.
Low-key, we could maybe even switch Endrick and Douglas Luiz.
I like that.
Because we can be apologetic to Endrick.
Sure.
So finally.
Because Douglas Luiz does also deserve disaster class. Oh, and totally. Endrick has... Is potential.
I mean, no, he's not even starting games for Juventus.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Ender is a terrible.
But he did bring Alicia Lehmann.
It's a terrible.
Okay. Okay. Also, I do want to say, Anto, your idea of the slots.
You like it?
On the limited spot. That was a great fucking play by
it's
you.
Fucking good.
That was a great idea.
I'm glad it hit.
At first, I was like, I don't know. I might have to move Mazraoui down on my list to make room. But, we didn't even have to do that, which is great.
Was good.
So this was great because it sparked argument as well.
I'm glad it was a hit.
Okay. So that has been the tier list. And that has been another episode of the 6-Yard Box podcast, everybody. These two have class in T-minus 10 minutes, so they got to get going. I'm going home, thankfully. But we want to thank all of you again for listening. Again, this is always like the best part of my week. I think you guys can agree.
Mm-hmm.
We have to fight tooth and nail to make these happen sometimes. But we always get it done because we love the pod so much, and we hope you guys do as well. As always, everybody, we will talk to you next week. We hope you have an amazing time watching the football this week, and we will see you soon.
We out.
See ya.
See ya.